What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
And a very good morning to Elson Gay. Good morning, Elson. How are you going?
Good morning. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you in the studio. We've not actually been able to sit in front of each other and have this conversation before, so thank you, Mike, for being unwell. No, I don't mean that. We're praying for him to recover quickly and be back to normal soon. In the meantime, I get to hang out with you and talk finance and debt and all that kind of fun stuff. What's on your mind today?
Well, this topic is based off the last time I was here. There was a question from a listener saying that, can you please talk about no and low deposit home loans?
Yes.
So I think that's the hot topic now because the government is trying to push people into housing. And Yes. Here are all the promises that we've got. And don't worry, we're going to get you a property ASAP. And I think this discussion is born out of that real surge in or need to get into some form of property.
That's right.
And whilst we are all pushing that, I think the first conversation that we want to have is a home loan is still a debt.
Yes.
And if you look at the stats, Australia is fifth in the world in terms of household indebtedness.
Yeah.
So in terms of the percentage of debt over our net disposable income, we're looking at something like a 210%.
Wow.
And wow. So we're fifth in the world.
Yeah. That's huge.
It's really high. Yeah. You know, and we are coming. Yes, it is true that unemployment is low and our economy is, you know, ticking along pretty well. But we are coming into a few years of interest rate rises.
Yes.
And there could be a lot of volatility in the property market.
See, I've been saying that for a while now, so I do a little show on Saturday mornings around real estate with David Snell, and yep. He brings so much great insight to the table. But I've been kind of suggesting that I foresee a bit of a bubble burst to a degree coming, and obviously he's the optimist, the eternal optimist, and say, oh, no, it's all good. But yeah, I think just a lot of caution this time, because for a lot of people, they've been renting for a while. Rent are just going through the roof. It's a conversation we have regularly, and they're very hard to come by. So it's a case of, well, I can't get a rental, maybe I'll just force my way into the property market. I'll buy something, and stretch myself to the absolute limit, which at this time, it's a tough call because the prices are pretty inflated. Interest rates are low. There's that beautiful balance, but then when it changes, it shifts dramatically and it can have a massive impact on your ability to repay.
Correct.
And that's something that we want to jump into today.
Yes.
Based on that conversation.
Now,
yeah.
Yeah. After the break, I want to be talking about some of those options that people have been taking in terms of trying to push the boundaries of how much they can or maxed out their borrowings.
Yes.
And then some of the pitfalls that it would entail.
Which there are plenty of. Yes. So stick around for that. We'll come back after a short break and talk finance with Elson Gay. By Pharrell Williams, getting happy on a Tuesday morning. It is weekdays with Lockie, 23 minutes past 10 o'clock, and our guest in the studio, Elson Gay, talking finance and talking mortgages and debt and all the crazy stuff of life that we kind of need to know a little bit about. But you're the man who's got the expert knowledge, so bringing it to the table. Look, don't forget, if you have a question, you can hit us up on the text line 0429 985 985, and of course, you will go into the running for our caller of the week, a $100 fuel card, which at this time of the year of the economy, $100 in the fuel tank is pretty good value, that's for sure. And talking about going into debt, I go into debt every time I go to the fuel bowser. I feel like I'm just not quite prepared for this, but you know, that's where we're at. What's your take on debt as far as how much a person should have?
Well, I think it really depends on every individual circumstances, because some people are able to take on a lot more because of their lifestyle habits and lifestyle choices and the ability for them to build up that buffer. So I think really there's no magical formula that you can say, oh, this is the right level. It all depends. And the question from one of the listeners last time I was here is around, how can I borrow the maximum? How can I push? Can I buy a house without having a deposit? And the answer is yes, you can.
You can, absolutely. You know?
there are lots of avenues.
That's right.
In fact, you know, having a guarantor
yep.
And using your mum and dad's house, you can get a loan without having any deposit. That's you right. can be gifted some money, and that's it. You know, you don't have to save up that amount. And obviously, in WA, we have the Keystart program, which is the government initiative that you can go into property with as little as 2%. And the new government incentive is the 5%, where they have allocated something like a 50,000 slots per year for people to apply, and you can go in with as little as 5%.
Right.
Now, all these measures and all these incentives would assist you in getting into a property sooner. But here's the catch.
They all have strings attached, don't they? Every different opportunity comes with a different set of rules.
Yes.
So you've got to be aware of that stuff.
Correct.
That's where you come in.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that people don't understand is that in a rising property market, having no deposit is a, you know, it's a small issue. But when property prices are fluctuating, and if there's a possibility that it would drop over the next few years, then you're going to be caught out.
Well, this is the thing. You're going back to the boom as it was a few years back. And I had friends that were in, you know, FIFO earning good money, and they would buy their second, third investment property, and they had this roller coaster effect going. Of course, the market crashed. Yeah. They lost 20 up to 20% equity in their properties. Some of them had mortgages that were 95% of the property value. All of a sudden, you've got a 15% shortfall on the property. You can't sell it. You can't get tenants for it. It's just sitting there.
Yep.
And eventually, they have to, you know, foreclose.
Correct. And Lockie, I think the worst is that you can't refinance.
Correct.
So even if you're trying to get a better deal to hopefully get your finances in order, you can't.
Because the house that you paid maybe $500,000 is now worth $400,000 or $450,000.
Correct.
Bank's not going to give you that for it.
Correct. Yeah. So, and I think that's where that's a sting in the tail.
Yes.
And you have to be realize that you know, this is a big commitment. You know, sure. And whilst your reasons for buying a property might be valid, I think the commitment that you're going to have. It's going to be, you've got to have a bigger resolve going forward. And after the break, I really want to talk about some of those things that you should consider before jumping in, getting one of these big loans.
Yeah. And I guess there's the difference between investing and a purchaser who's going to live in their own property, where if you, you know, you, this is your forever home for the next 20 or 30 years, you can afford to be a little bit more indebted to it, I suppose, because you've got that time to pay it off. And even if the market fluctuates, you can afford to maintain the payments, etc. But yeah, we'll touch on that in the next set. And we are talking finance with Elson Gyo from EG Financial Services. Now, we're talking specifically around mortgages and debt and all that kind of stuff, and that concept of how much is too much. I don't know. Like, it feels like the world's a different place when it comes to debt at this time. We're just talking off the air about credit cards and how people go into life expecting to have debt, whereas 30 years ago, that wasn't normal.
No.
What's changed?
Yeah, and back then, if you remember your grandparents, it was the concept of those little jars.
Yeah, that's right.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, and then there were buckets for, you know, if you want a bucket for your TV or a bucket for your car, they would really save for it in those little jars.
My mother-in-law still has those buckets. Literally. You know, she's got a little thing for gifts.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Every now and then she'll give us a few dollars and say, oh, this is for a gift for something.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
Whoever. It's like, oh, my goodness.
And I think that's so where though. That's where the naughty word jar came from, you know.
It's the like swear jar?
You contribute to that little bucket, you know.
Oh, well, you
know,
there you go.
But and I think back then it was that the concept of if I can't have it, if I can't afford it. Don't
you
have,
can't
it.
Have it. That's right. Whereas we got into that series of opportunities with credit cards, store credit cards, hire purchase, all these different styles of buying before paying later, buying now, paying later. Now that's just the norm. You know, we live, and look, I'll be honest, I live by my credit card, but it's paid off. So I just use the credit card facilities to continue my life. And then as the money comes in, you pay that down.
Yes,
so it doesn't, you know, sit into, it doesn't ever get to a point where you're paying massive amounts of interest, hopefully. Having said that, the fuel is killing me at the moment. That's another topic. What can people do? Some practical things to kind of, I guess, change the mindset.
Yeah, and I think one of the things with regards to buying a property is that, now I understand that, you know, saving up that deposit is really hard. The fact that, you know, property prices have gone up quite a fair bit.
Yes.
But having that discipline to save up for the 20% is actually a good thing, you know. Many years ago, my kids want to have pets, so we got them a guinea pig, and we said, if you can look after the guinea pig, if you pass this test,
yeah,
then we can talk about other bigger bets.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you can't get past this bet, you know, forget about the bigger ones.
Have you gone to the horse yet?
No. No, they didn't pass the test. you know, for the first few months it was great, and then after that, who's gonna clean the pen?
The cage,
you know, no one wants to do it anymore.
That's right.
And I think that's where, you know, saving up for that 20%, it might be a huge mountain to climb. Mm. But it is a good discipline. It's a good practice.
Definitely.
A good test run. If you can build up this buffer once you've got your property, then are you most likely you'll be able to do the same?
Yeah, yeah.
And that is, I would say, critical. Now, you did touch about on the point about, you know, renting and people trying to get out of rent.
That's right.
And I've always been hearing this. You know, Elson, I want to buy a house because I'm so sick of renting, paying
somebody else's mortgage.
Correct. Yeah. Now, yeah. I want to put this debate to bed. Right?
Okay. Yep.
Paying interest is no different from paying rent.
Exactly.
Okay? Because if you buy a house and you're gonna borrow up to your eyeballs on, and you're gonna be up to your eyeballs in debt,
yeah,
it is still an amount that you're paying that is just gone.
That's right.
You don't get it back.
That's right.
So interest is just as bad as rent.
Mm-hmm.
You're swapping one for the other.
Yeah.
But when you buy a house and you enter into a mortgage, you have a contract and you are now locked in.
Mm.
Whilst when you're renting, you can still have other options to consider.
Yes, yes.
When you buy a house, it's a big commitment.
Yeah. And there's times, I think, for both. And everyone's got a different... And that's why we say we play that little disclaimer to make sure you seek your own personal advice. Because for some, the option to save... say $50,000 or more is just not there,
mm.
but they can make the payments quite comfortably.
Mm.
But for various reasons, they're paying $500 a week in rent, and you know that's just the life they live. And all of a sudden, parents or you know close relatives come along and say, "Look, we can you know, go guarantor for you."
Mm.
Again, if it's a lifelong thing, there's probably some value in looking into that,
mm.
Providing you are 100% certain you can keep it going. But one of the pitfalls, as we mentioned off air, is the relationship breakdown thing at the moment. That's quite huge. So, you know, a couple splits and all of a sudden one side of the parents is left with this this unknown debt, and you know the people, it's a mess all around.
It is very messy.
So you've got to look at all the pros and cons, weigh it up for yourself personally, get some really good advice, and obviously pray about it, in my view as well. Make sure you go, "God, what am I doing here? Should I be doing this?" Because he usually gives me the right answer.
Yeah.
There you go. Any final tips for anyone out there?
I think when speak to someone, you know, be honest about your position. Have a conversation with others. Seek wise, godly counsel if you can.
Yes, yes.
I think that will probably put you in a good place.
Definitely. Good stuff. Fantastic to have you in the studio today, Elson. God bless you. And I'm sure you'll catch up with Mike next time.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. Or visit the website 98five.com.